Well, I certainly was not planning on podcasting tonight, but with this DeMarcus Cousins trade, an emergency is required. Danny LaRue has left us. He is in the U.S. Virgin Islands at the moment. Tim Bontemps, though, is coming in from the bullpen. Epic save here for this must dunked on. How you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. I'm very excited to see how Danny responds to all the trades that happened this week when he gets back from vacation. I think, and especially like even if no other trades in this one happen, his head might explode. But this week is going to be interesting, and the fact that we kicked off trade deadline week with a trade of this magnitude during the All-Star game is not exactly how I envisioned this week going.
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned Danny, because in the early days of Dunked On, around the 2015 draft, when there were all those Cousins rumors, right? Like, I mean, there were some crazy trade scenarios that were far superior to what they actually ended up getting.
Yeah, no, I mean, remember there was talk about them getting, you know, the number two pick in the draft that year, which turned into, you know, they really wanted Russell. And, you know, there was some talk that, you know, maybe they could get that pick in Julius Randle, or that pick in the 27 pick, which turned into Larry Nance. There was a lot of talk about a lot of varieties of different moves they could make. And I mean, look, I can understand Sacramento deciding, look, this isn't going to work, right? Like, they just have not won any games with DeMarcus. He obviously has some personality issues.
I thought it was a good concept and awful execution is kind of my thought initially.
Yeah. And I will say, like, I'm not trying to defend the Kings here, because I agree with that. I think that's the right assessment, right? Like, good thought. You need to start over. You need to reset things. You had to get better than this. That being said, like, from talking to people around the league, like, I don't really know if they could get better than this. And like, I think this is a situation. This is something that you've mentioned on the podcast before. DeMarcus is, I think this is probably the most extreme example of it. Like, it's very clear that people around the league were really hesitant to take on DeMarcus and all of the baggage that he brings with him. Because look, at the end of the day, DeMarcus Cousins, who's made multiple All-NBA teams, multiple All-Star teams, obviously an incredibly talented player, multiple time gold medal winner for Team USA, the World Championships, and now this year at the Olympics, he just got traded for Buddy Hield and what is likely to be a mid-round, first-round pick in this year's draft.
Redo the parameters here, since we started.
Right. We should explain it. Right.
The trade is DeMarcus Cousins and Omri Caspi from Sacramento for Langston Galloway, who Woj is reporting will actually be waived. I'm not sure if that's actually true, because he has a player option. Hield, as you mentioned. Tyreke Evans, triumphant return to Sacramento for him.
Right.
Who is once signed and traded from Sacramento to New Orleans. And then a 2017 first and Philadelphia's, I think, 2019 second, or either 2019 or 2017 second. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think it's a second round pick in this year's draft for sure.
Okay. Yeah, so I saw varying reports on that. It would make sense for the Phillies that it was this year.
Yes, I've been told it's a first and second round pick in this year's draft.
Okay.
So that would be Philly's pick.
Yeah, so really, I think you hit on it here that, for me, this is the year that I kind of was out on DeMarcus for a while. The biggest reason being, you used to be able to make an argument that he was okay on defense. I think every time I saw him in person this year, he was awful. He wasn't trying. He was at the, like, I'm going to grab guys' jerseys as they go by, kind of matador level of defense this year. The Kings had an awful defense. And maybe now that they finally have coaching stability, they felt like, you know, all right, we've had a good coach in here. He still has had a problem. Now we can't blame it on this toxic situation with George Karl anymore. Dave Yeager has bent over backwards to have a relationship with him. He's still getting all these technicals. You know, maybe it's time now to move him, because we don't want to do this over $200 million designated veteran extension that they would have had to engage with him in July, that would have gone 5 years past 2018.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what this comes down to, right? I mean, DeMarcus is already eligible for this extension. If he got past the trade deadline as a King, you would have expected him on July 1st. to get that extension. And, you know, I think from the Sacramento standpoint, it's very clear that they decided that they weren't comfortable giving him $200 and something million over 5 years, and that they decided to make a clean break. And like I said, I think there's some reason, I think there's plenty of reasons to justify their willingness to do that. When you look at the fact that the Kings haven't won any games with him, and there's obviously a lot of toxic, it's just a toxic environment, and he's part of that, even though I don't think he's all of the reason for it. I can understand them doing that. And like I said, from talking to people around the league, they didn't have any offers. Like, they tried to engage with Boston. Boston was hesitant to give up anything of value at all, including Terry Rozier. Like, they just weren't willing to engage on anything with him. They had talks with Orlando. Orlando wasn't really, I mean, they're, from what I understand, Aaron Gordon wasn't included in any trade package with Orlando, and they were very hesitant to include anything of real value. Because, even for a team like in Orlando situation, there are just a lot of people around the league who are very hesitant to try to take on everything that comes with Cousins. And, you know, this, you know, it comes, I know you've talked about this with Danny on the podcast. It comes back to when you see a guy and you wonder, why is this guy's trade value not higher around the league? There's usually a reason for it. And in this case, you know, like I said, I don't think everything that's happened in Sacramento is DeMarcus's fault at all. But it's pretty clear that over a long period of time, a lot of stuff has happened there. And he has at least some say in what's happened. And, you know, I think at this point, it's pretty clear that they just decided that this is not something that they could really continue over another 5-year period. And it's better to blow it up now. Now you have Philly's pick, which is high in the second round. They get a mid first round pick from the Pelicans. They're now going to keep their pick. So they'll have three at, say, the top 33 picks in a loaded draft.
Top 10 protected, by the way. Yeah.
Which incredibly over what, a 7-year period, is never going to be outside the top 10.
Yeah.
Which is just another sign of, you know, on the other side of things, the gross incompetence of this entire franchise.
Well, let me interrupt you here, Tim. I want to talk a little bit about
sure. Go ahead.
About some of the macro things here. And I think one of the biggest things, you mentioned Cousins' value was low in part due to the fact that, you know, he still has all these temperamental issues. But I think the other thing was the CBA change may perversely have actually, which is designed to allow teams to keep these players by being the only ones who can offer them these extensions, perversely may be the reason that DeMarcus Cousins is no longer a King now, because, you know, now that they had the ability to offer him this extension, it's like, oh, this is what we have to give them, this $200 million extension a year before, that's going to go out for 5 years, a year before he's even going to become a free agent. And so then not only that, then are they like, oh, well, we don't want to give him that. But then when you trade him to someone else, his value is now lower because a new team can't offer him that extension and be sure that he won't leave. And so now, and they could just really value Buddy Hield a lot too. I mean, that could be the miscalculation here. But I think looking at these dynamics already, I mean, I always thought that this designated veteran player extension thing was just an overreaction to the Kevin Durant thing. And hey, guess what? The first example of it before the new CBA even comes into effect, it doesn't really even appear to have worked.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a really good point. And I think, you know, like we've both kind of said here, I think there are some unique circumstances to the situation DeMarcus is in, right? And a lot of stuff that's happened in Sacramento. That being said, there is little doubt that if you look at this, like when this rule came in, what's the first thing we said? I mean, we've talked about this both, I think, on the pod and privately, right? It was that DeMarcus, this seemed like a perfect setup for the Kings to be able to hang on to a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, right? Here's a guy already qualified for it. He's one of the few guys in the league that already automatically qualifies for it, that was going to will be able to get it. Like it seemed like, all right, here's a perfect chance for a team like Sacramento, given all the instability they've had. All right, we can keep DeMarcus. We have Dave Yeager, like you said, as the coach. We can build around him for the long term. And to your point, you know, they looked around and said, we don't want to give this guy that contract, and we feel better getting off of it and moving on. And to your point, because the Pelicans now can't offer him that contract, there's less incentive for DeMarcus to stay here. Hence, the value for him on the trade market was lesser than it would have been.
One more thing here before we get to what this is going to look like on the court and in the future for both teams.
Right.
Vlade Divac was giving public interviews saying DeMarcus isn't going to be moved. Reports came out, James Hamm of CSN saying they've already basically offered him the designated player veteran extension, and he's going to take it as soon as he possibly can when the new CBA kicks in. What happened? Why did things change so quickly and change so quickly for a package that I think most would consider underwhelming?
It's a great question. I think, and I don't know exactly what happened, but I think sometime over the last week, the Kings front office finally convinced owner Vivek Ranadive that it was time to move on from DeMarcus. I don't know if there was a moment or something that happened, but it's very clear that, you know, the longstanding thing in Sacramento, and this goes back to, you mentioned earlier, all the talks in 2015 about potentially moving DeMarcus then at the draft and getting him to Los Angeles. There was always the talk that Vivek was always the one who kind of stopped us, right? And for whatever reason, Vivek swung the other way. And my guess is the pro trading DeMarcus camp saw an opportunity to move him, and the second that Vivek softened, they jumped.
Because you never know when his whimsy could slide back the other way.
He could switch right back the other way. And I think you mentioned it. There's been a lot of talk that the Kings were very high on Buddy coming into last year's draft. So maybe they think in a different situation he can play better. Ironically, you know, as many people have said, if you go back over these past several years since 2010, they had Jimmer Fredette and Nick Stauskas and Ben McLemore, and now they have Buddy. You know, they've just gone through a run of shooting guards, and none of them have become a starter for them. Hopefully for Buddy's sake that changes, but I think if you had to ask me, like, why did this happen now, it's that Vivek signed off on trading DeMarcus, and so they said, all right, we got to trade him now, because if Vivek changes his mind tomorrow, we're right back to square one again. So, and like I said, they have talked to teams for a while. Like, this is not something that they came up with today. Like, well, we got to move him now. Like, I legitimately think they decided, look, we're not going to get a better offer than this. We got to do this now before the owner changes his mind. They went and did it because there just wasn't, despite DeMarcus's obvious talent, there just wasn't the obvious demand on the market to go out and get a guy like him.
All right, we'll get into the implications for both squads here, but first, this message. So I've been doing a lot of traveling now for the podcast as we started to expand our footprint a little bit, try to get to more events. And I spend a lot of time in hotels, sometimes even splurge on a nicer one. But I'm always happy to get home and sleep on my Helix Sleep mattress instead. A lot of mattress delivery companies have been in the news of late. You've probably heard them advertise on their podcasts. I even tried one of those companies before I had started this podcast, and I didn't like it. It was one size fits all. That doesn't work for me. It probably doesn't work for a lot of people. At Helix Sleep, you can get your mattress customized to you. You can answer a 2 to 3 minute questionnaire based on 4 key preferences, run it through their proprietary algorithms, and you get a custom sleep profile. Helix customers report a 30% improvement in overall sleep quality, and although I can't quite quantify it that much, I certainly can say it's the most comfortable mattress that I've ever owned. Your mattress arrives at your door in about a week, shipping is free, and there's no reason not to try it because you get 100 full nights and you can get a full refund with them picking it up for free if it doesn't work out for you. If you go to a mattress store and you lay on the mattress with your shoes on or have your feet hang off the bed because you don't want to have your shoes on the bed in the store and you can't lay there for more than 3 minutes with like a comforter on the mattress before you feel weird about laying there, you're not going to learn anything in a store. So it's not like you're missing out on the ability to try it. And here you have that 100-day guarantee. When you get started with Helix Sleep, helixsleep.com/capspace will get you $50 off your order and let them know that you came from us. It's a URL this time, helixsleep.com/capspace. Well, we have not discussed at all yet the New Orleans Pelicans, who I think
it's kind of a big deal, right? They just got traded DeMarcus Cousins. They just got DeMarcus Cousins for Buddy Hield for this year's team. It's not bad.
No, it isn't. And while I do think there's a significant implosion potential here, I do think that you're going to get
sure.
diminishing returns with two high usage big men playing next to each other in the front court. The defense with those two guys will be a question mark, to be sure. But given how little they had to give up, given Dell Demps's always tenuous job status, given the fact that they had no other way they were ever going to get another star for this team unless they just drafted one, and they hadn't had much success doing that with the Buddy pick. It really has to be considered a coup for them, even if my position is I think it's more likely than not that this ends up being a disappointment on the floor. But it's still a move that they had to make, and I think it's a good move for them to make, even if it may not work out that well. It at least has a chance to do so.
I couldn't agree more. And like I said, I'm not going to crush the Kings, even though we we agree on all sides of this. I'm not going to crush the Kings for doing this because they clearly decided this is time to move on. This is the best we can do. Let's do it. Just rip the Band-Aid off. We have these three picks now on the top 32, say, 35, and a really good draft, and we can finally start fresh, right? Like, I can live with that from their standpoint. It's obviously not the return that I would expect for DeMarcus, but at least you can rationalize it.
Well, I will say this. For my own personal standpoint,
right,
to me, this isn't better than just hanging on to him and even just having him walk away as a free agent in 2018 free agency. I think I would rather have a year and a half of Cousins on my team than even this, I think. And maybe you could say, all right, they're increasing their own draft pick this year.
Right.
They're picking a direction, you know, maybe whatever. But it just, this would not be enough for me to give up on Cousins. And now I'm not there behind the scenes. I don't know how bad things
right.
are, et cetera, et cetera. But it would have taken more than this. But the issue is, and I mean, we could talk about this now, I guess, is that I think they think Buddy Hield is really good. You know, that Buddy Hield is like, you know, a guy who could, I mean, if you ask them, I bet you they would say, you know, we feel like he has all-star potential, and pretty much anybody who's been looking at that situation from a neutral perspective, I think does not see it that way. And I got myself among them.
I actually don't think the Kings look at it that way, actually,
yeah.
from talking to people today. No, I they like Buddy. They think he can be a solid starter, I think. I think they're higher on him than most. I'm not going to say that they think he's like destined to be an all-star at this point.
Okay.
I think
Chad Ford said, you know, right. that he was number two on their board back then. So I mean, maybe their feeling has changed, but I still think they're overvaluing him, even if they see him as a future very good starter. But nonetheless, okay.
No, and I agree with you. Look, we agree on that. I mean, look, one of the funny stats from tonight is DeMarcus has made more threes this year than Buddy Hield, right? Like, I mean, I'm not advocating for Buddy Hield here. It's more that, to your point, what you said before, like, I can understand if you just hang on to DeMarcus and he leaves, and that's fine. I don't mind, like, for a team that's been so rudderless, if they just are picking a direction saying, this is what we're going to do, we're going to start over, this hasn't worked, we're going to rebuild, we have a, like you said, we have a good coach now in Dave Yeager, let's stick with this front office, stick with this coach, try to get some stability here and build something, I don't mind that. I'm with you, I wouldn't trade him for this package either, but I can at least understand where they're coming from. But from the New Orleans side, I couldn't agree with you more. To me, you look at this Pelicans team, right? You've got Jrue Holiday, who's going to be one of the most sought-after free agents this summer. Teams like the Knicks and the Bulls need a point guard. We're going to, I think, definitely go after Jrue. Still probably will. I think it's more likely he stays with the team now. Important note there, Jrue Holiday and DeMarcus Cousins share an agent, Dan Fagan. Something to know about this. And look, the New Orleans Pelicans were not getting somebody like DeMarcus Cousins to come as a free agent. It wasn't happening. And I agree with you. There are real concerns about this team. Their guard rotation outside of Jrue Holiday is a question mark right now. Getting Omri Kaspi in this trade, I think, helps them. But they have things they have to figure out there. I think you make a really good point about the defense. DeMarcus has not played good defense this year. Anthony Davis at times has not played the defense you'd expect for a guy with his skill set. It's unclear exactly how their offensive games are going to mesh. But they basically, like, from their standpoint, if let's say DeMarcus comes here for a year and a half and they try it and he decides to leave, they didn't give up future picks. They didn't give up any future assets. They gave up this year's draft pick, which, unless Anthony Davis and DeMarcus both get hurt.
And that pick is top three protected, too, which is, I think I would have liked to have thought that the Kings could at least have gotten that unprotected.
Right. I mean, that's also crazy. Like, the fact that it's even a protected pick, I agree with you. But look, it's going to take something colossal for that pick to even come close to being in danger of being protected.
Right.
Right. Like, I mean, unless both DeMarcus and Anthony get hurt immediately, they are, if they don't make the 8th seed, they're going to be the 9th seed in the West. So, you know, they're going to be somewhere in the back half of the lottery at worst. And they give up Buddy Hield, who I think you and I and most people in the league agree is not exactly. So they basically give up two middling chances at getting a good player for getting an elite talent who obviously has other issues, but is friends with Anthony Davis. And from their standpoint, it's like, look, like you said, let's take a swing. If this works, we've got two stars. We can start to build something. Jrue Holiday's a really good point guard. All of a sudden, you look at those three guys. From just a talent standpoint, there are very few teams in the league that have three guys as talented as those three guys. And so I think it's definitely worth the swing for them. And if it doesn't work out, well, you're not really in a different situation than you are now, and you at least took a chance on getting an elite talent to be on your team that you weren't going to get otherwise.
Yeah, Pelton made this point, and I agree with them, that even if Cousins leaves in a year and a half, this trade was still probably ended up being a win for New Orleans. And a couple of notes on where they'll be salary-wise this summer. Holiday has a $17 million cap hold. They'll have full bird rights on him. Caspi has a $5.6 million cap hold. They'll also have full bird rights on him. They could re-sign him. He actually might give them the closest thing they've had to a two-way guy on the wing since the Quincy Pondexter. He could actually be pretty valuable for them if he can beat
this
calf injury.
That was a sneaky part of this trade that they got him. Like, I mean, I think you and I both agree that Caspi's pretty good. And to your point, they haven't had anybody that could play that both sides of the court role on the wings without Pondexter ever since he got hurt. And Caspi, you know, was a nice piece. I mean, that was a nice thing for them to get in this trade.
So if they keep both of those cap holds on the books, they're already $5 million over the cap. They re-sign Holiday for his market rate, which will probably be $20 million or over, assuming he stays healthy. And now you're pretty much capped out. Maybe they could use some of the mid-level exception if they bring back Caspi. They might even be close to the tax at that point. And DeMarcus now cannot really extend there under that scenario because they can only offer him, without the designated veteran extension, 120% of his $18 million salary. His max is going to be over $30 million. He has no reason to take that. The only reason he might be incentivized to extend would be if they could actually create the cap space and then do the Russell Westbrook, James Harden conventional renegotiate and extend. But the only way they would have the space to do that would be either, number one, they would have to lose Holiday and lose his cap hold, or number two, find a way to get off of some contracts. Omer Asik, of course, is deader than dead salary now with these acquisitions. So is Alexi Ajinsa, Solomon Hill, maybe could be someone that they might get to remove. But they basically would have to open up about $12, $13 million in cap space to give him that bump. And then they could maybe put, give him that, and then he might want to sign a 2+1, which would then put him on the market right when he could get on and get the 10+ max experience, 2+1 in addition to what he already has. So that would make him a free agent in the summer of 2020 instead, and he'd probably be getting his best years there. But that would require some difficult maneuvering and getting off of someone like Asik, certainly, who still would have 2 years left at $11 million a year, could be difficult. So those are really the two scenarios that they would be looking at as far as extending him. But yeah, I mean, that's the question now, is how good are they going to be on the court these next year and a half or so? Are they in, how much in the mix really are they?
I think if they keep those three guys, they're going to be in the mix. I mean, I really do. I mean, the New Orleans has been pretty good this year when Drew and Anthony have been
healthy.
Well,
in the mix, are we talking in the playoffs? Are we talking top four seed? Are we talking about contending for the West Championship in like a normal year when the Warriors aren't, you know, one of the best teams of all time? I mean, what type of level are we talking about here?
I think they could be a pretty good team in the Western Conference. I need to see more of how they build out the roster around these guys, and I'd like to see how they look over the next couple months first. But I mean, like I said, I totally agree. There are issues there. How are they going to fit, you know, Anthony and DeMarcus, and you know, can they keep Drew Holiday? Can these guys all stay healthy? I mean, both Anthony and Drew have had, you know, pretty extensive at this point injury histories. But just those three guys together on the court, you know, there's very few teams that have that level of talent. And it just, at some point in the NBA, if you have that much talent, usually you can find a way to make it work. And look, maybe it won't work, right? I mean, I think a lot of people thought that DeMarcus Cousins needed to go to a stable franchise with a strong organizational presence, whether a place like Miami or Boston or whatever. New Orleans has not been that.
Yeah.
Does have a good relationship with Anthony
Davis.
But at
least AD is a good enough player that maybe you'd hope there's another voice now, at least, even if it's not a guy who, you know, at 23 is going to be like really a leader. At least it's like there's another like sphere of gravity in the organization.
Yes, and they have a very good relationship. They both went to Kentucky. Like I think DeMarcus has called him his little brother. Like that's a good relationship. So I think that, you know, that's something that should definitely be, I think, be taken into account here. That's matters. And again, like DeMarcus is from Mobile, Alabama, which isn't far away. So, you know, I think New Orleans is confident that if they get him here and if things work out well, he'd be willing to stay. I think it should be noted that DeMarcus has never really agitated to leave Sacramento. He isn't one of these guys that's, you know, necessarily been like, I need to get to a big market. You know, he, for all of his faults, and there are plenty of them at this point, he was never a guy who was agitating to go to a big market or join up with people. Like, he was happy being in Sacramento. So I think they have reason to be confident that they can keep him for the long term.
Yeah. And they'll still have the advantage of being able, just like under the old rules, of being able to offer him a 5-year deal when everyone else
can offer four. Yep. And for the bigger raises, which will help too. So,
although then again, you know, there is the issue of him only having 8 years of experience and wanting to get into the 35% max bracket potentially. Right. So that's another conundrum there.
Yeah, that is. But, you know, like you said, to me, it comes back to if you're the Pelicans, right? And you do like the very typical, all right, we got to make a big decision. Let's do the pro and con side. Like, what are the cons? They're very few to
right.
me, because it's just, you don't get a lot of opportunities to get a talent like this, and you're not getting a guy like this if there isn't some weird circumstances in their situation.
The opportunity cost is so low. Like, they were just they had no realistic path to a second star other than doing this. Like, you're gonna wait around on the fringes of the playoff race next year too, like maybe hope that like you got a pick that was like number 10 and you hit on that or something, which they've not succeeded at,
which,
like,
they haven't.
It wasn't gonna be any good.
Right, exactly. And so it's worth the swing. I mean, somebody earlier tonight when I was talking to him compared this trade to the Harden trade, which I thought was interesting. Not in that, obviously, those are very different circumstances, and that, you know, there was extension talks there and a lot of different things at play. But it was a trade where the team that traded away the player seemed to be trading him at an odd time and for a lesser value than you would have expected. And for the team that was trading for the player, in that case Houston, in this case New Orleans, they were betting on the talent working out. And I don't know if this situation is going to be like that one, but I think in the overall macro picture, if you're New Orleans, you say, we're not getting a guy like this any other way than this. And if this is all the price is, where we don't have any long-term cost after this year, so if something crazy happens, we're not giving up. It's not like the Nets trade with the Celtics where they gave up picks for 5 years. This is a, we're done after this year. We got to go get this guy and see if it works, because it's a chance for us to do something we had no chance of doing otherwise.
So all that said, I totally agree. Good move. Something I would have done in a heartbeat. I got two predictions. One is I think that they are more likely than not still to not make the playoffs, being 2.5 games behind Denver. They still have Portland in their way too, who is hurt a little bit by the Plumlee trade, but still is in the way. I mean, Dallas even is only a half game behind them. 2.5
right.
games, a lot to make up over a 25 game period. The Nuggets have been playing well, of course, and just made their own move. We'll see how much that helps. But then my second prediction is that next year they will not be a home court advantage team in the West. Probably would be a playoff team. There's a number of reasons I say that. Number one is just the overall health record of this organization. I think Holiday, AD in particular. I mean, some of the guys that they've gotten in are not really bad injury guys, but they do seem to get injured more than other organizations do. Another one is, you know, I'm not sure that Alvin Gentry has shown a ton as a coach so far. I'm not thinking that he's like, you know, in the top half of the league of coaches to make this system with some redundant parts work that well.
Well, in one point there, not to interrupt.
Yeah.
I mean, Alvin comes from the Mike D'Antoni system, right? Like, he wants to play pace and space.
Right.
Kind of hard to play pace and space when you've got Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins on your team. So I think that's a real question as to how this team can integrate those guys into what they were allegedly trying to do, because this just is not a good fit for them.
I mean, I think the offense is going to be a lot of your turn, my turn. And now they have a lot of good personnel to do that. And these teams, you know, the center is going to have to guard DeMarcus. And now AD is going to have a smaller power forward on him. Teams on the other end are probably going to feel like, hey, we got to play two bigs against these guys. We can't get caught small against them. Either of those guys can shoot the ball and create space for the other to work in theory, or turn and face and have a mismatch. They can run, all run. One guy can pop, one guy can roll. You know, they can both post up. I think that's, they can make a pretty good offense out of it. Caspi will help with the shooting. Etuan Moore is a fine spot up shooter playing at the two. Holiday can shoot it. So they should have enough shooting around those guys. I think the offense would be pretty good. But then there's the concern, of course, of the defense. Is Cousins going to give a better effort defensively?
Now, can I cut you off?
Yeah, yeah, please.
I was just curious about this. Because New Orleans is actually, like, surprisingly, because people don't, you know, I'm sure not many people have been paying attention to New Orleans. They've been pretty good on defense for a while.
Yes.
And do we think that there's a chance that, you know, if DeMarcus gets in a new situation, maybe he can buy in a little bit and play center and allow Davis to kind of roam around and help, and maybe the defense isn't as bad as we might think it might be?
Yeah, just I think there is a chance of that, because Drew is good, Moore is good, Caspi is fine.
Caspi's
at the
pretty
three.
Good.
Then hopefully what they'll do is they'll just bring Solomon Hill off the bench, have him play the four next to AD or Cousins as their do a three-man big rotation that way.
As he famously became a dunked on favorite last year in the playoffs, playing as a small ball four for the Pacers before he got handsomely paid by the Pelicans.
So I think they have that. They've still got Demo as well, who could play as a combo forward next to either of those guys. They'll probably more likely go that route as well.
Right.
Tim Frazier is a fine backup point guard. They could
maybe
use
gets to play again now that they've traded Tyreke Evans, which I think will probably help them too, because he was very good for them early in the year.
Yeah, and you know, Dante Cunningham is a good ninth man, which is, you know, he'll finally be playing in a role more commensurate with where his skills are, or maybe he'll start and Caspi will come off the bench, you know, if he's not quite ready. So I think they could be pretty good. It's certainly something that I think is going to take a while in terms of getting things ready, and there could be injuries. There's still the volatile personality issues. There's also still a chance that Holiday could leave in free agency as well, and then they basically are not going to have a way to replace him, most likely, at point guard. And if they lose him, he's their only guy who can do anything off the dribble, get them into their offense. So that would be a massive loss.
To me, that's the doomsday scenario, right?
Well, they're because clearly going to just have to just pay what it takes now, you know, and
right.
Dell Demps will have the mandate from ownership to do that. I mean, that's the other reason why this was such a no-brainer is if you're Dell Demps, you're disappointed.
That's why I brought up earlier, too, that DeMarcus and Drew share an agent, which I think is something that really matters in a situation like this.
Well, all right, let's talk a little bit more now about where this leaves the Kings. But first, this message. So I've been up in Portland this weekend for a little trip that has now been interrupted to do this podcast about the Cousins trade. But when I get home, I'll have Blue Apron waiting for me. I've probably made about 40 of these meals now, and they really are awesome. It's a great food delivery service that sends you fresh, high-quality ingredients that I think are as good as you're going to get at a premium grocery store. But there's no food waste. They portion everything out perfectly, and it's less than $10 per person per meal. Some of the great meals that they're going to have in February: udon noodle soup with miso and soft-boiled egg, roasted pork with apple, walnut, and farro salad, crispy barramundi with quinoa and roasted carrot salad. Been doing Blue Apron for almost a year now, and the meals that they've sent us have touched really every corner of the globe at this point. We've got to try out and cook really some things I never would have thought that I would be making. They've now rejiggered their recipe sheets to make it even more clear and accessible, and there's no reason not to try it at this point, because you can get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/capspace. Capspace, we talk about it all the time on the program, including now with the Pels. Are they going to be able to renegotiate and extend DeMarcus Cousins? So easy to remember, blueapron.com/capspace. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right, so Sacramento has hit the reset button. I think that now it appears the next step is going to be trading all of these guys who are on one-year contracts or have non-guaranteed money for next year. And there actually are a lot of those guys who could make the trade deadline more interesting, because it really makes sense now for the Kings to tear down and just get anything they can for Darren Collison and a few of these other guys.
No, and I could say for sure, like from some reporting tonight in the middle of all the insanity here in New Orleans, that they definitely are looking to do that. I mean, Darren Collison's on the market. Ben McLemore's on the market. Aaron Aflalo's on the market. I mean,
yeah,
I think
they actually are going to have to waive someone to even complete this trade, as it's been reported, because they're getting three and sending out two. And I mean, really, McLemore and Ty Lawson are probably the only two guys who really would make any sense for them to waive at this point.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't thought about that as you were going through it. Now,
well, you know why I thought about it is because we ran into this problem trying to do a trade in the mock trade deadline with the Kings in the same circumstance. It's like that everybody they have is either someone who has kind of long-term money that it doesn't make sense to waive, or who they still consider to have some sort of like prospect status. McLemore being or Lawson are really the only guys who don't fall into either of those categories.
They're not going to cut McLemore because they still think they can get something for him by the deadline. I know they're talking about him. To me I think if they're going to move on from somebody, it would probably make sense to move on from Lawson if they have to pick one of those two guys, because I just don't know what they'll get for him anyway. I think that's definitely true. It is just funny, like, you know, for so long the Kings have been so defined by DeMarcus, right? And like, it's kind of been like, are they going to find pieces to put around him, and what are they going to do? And now, like, you just look at their roster, and you know, I mean, it's the most nondescript roster in the league now, right? I mean, even more than say Brooklyn, because at least Brooklyn, I mean, Jeremy Lin's been hurt, but at least they have Jeremy Lin and Brook Lopez on their team.
Right.
I mean, the Kings have just nobody. I mean, with Rudy Gay hurt, I mean, who's their best player? Is it Garrett Temple? Is it Kostas Koufos? Like, I mean,
Collison is their best player.
Yeah, it's probably Darren Collison, who they are going to try to trade
for the next 3 days.
Yeah, because they're definitely going to try to trade him. I mean, they're going to try to trade everybody that isn't tied down, and they're going to completely blow it up. And to your point, you know, this is something that has been a problem, frankly, for the league over the last couple weeks, in that because the bottoms of both the East and the West have been so bunched up, you know, there's a lot of teams that are looking for bench pieces in particular that couldn't get these teams like Denver and Portland and Sacramento and Dallas and Orlando and New York to really bite on anything, because all these teams had designs of making the playoffs. And, you know, I think for a team like Sacramento, if they're willing to take a flyer on some, you know, minor young guy or a second round pick for guys like Collison and McLemore and Aflalo, you know, they could start to move some of these guys, and some of these teams like Washington or Boston or you know, maybe some of these mid-tier teams in the Western Conference trying to add a piece. You know, these teams that are trying to upgrade their roster a little bit, I think the potential for greasing the wheels on some of these trades have really increased now, because a couple of these teams have finally decided that, all right, instead of competing for an 8 seed to get bludgeoned in the first round, we're going to punt and try to get as good a pick as we can in what's supposed to be a really loaded 2017 draft.
Yeah, and as I said, I do applaud the Kings for not trying pell-mell for the 8th seed that they weren't going to get anyway. It was just, again, you know, they didn't get that much for DeMarcus. But right now, there's a lot of variables up in the air in terms of, like, potential non-guarantees, and Langston Galloway has a player option, Matt Barnes is a player option. But a working number for me is they're probably going to be right around $50 million in cap space. Now, they're not going to have a team. I mean, I guess they'll start Buddy at the
small
two.
Small problem.
Yeah, they'll start Buddy at the two, and they'll start Cauley-Stein at the five, and then they really don't have anybody else. So at this point, Aaron Aflalo has non-guaranteed entirely for next year. He's making 12.5. Tyreek Evans could just get bought out. He could go somewhere very easily. Anthony Tolliver, same thing, making $8 million next year, but it's almost all non-guaranteed. Temple.
Well, and something to remember too, in the new CBA, those non-guaranteed contracts. It hasn't quite been clarified to me whether those remain non-guaranteed.
I know the answer to this. They are grandfathered in.
Okay. So that still becomes
it's
an
only new
trade
contracts.
Piece for them.
What he's talking about there is new contracts signed under the CBA. If you have non-guaranteed salary for that year when you're sent out in a trade, it only counts for the amount of your guaranteed salary, not the whole non-guarantee. But the old contracts will still work that way.
Right. Okay. So he's still an interesting trade piece for that. And I poked around a little bit on Tyreek tonight. I was told that didn't seem like a huge option for the Kings. But to me, if I was Tyreek, I would definitely want to get bought out, because there's a certain team, in my opinion, in Cleveland, Ohio, that would probably be all over getting Tyreek Evans. And, you know, if I'm him, I'd much rather have a chance to be part of a playoff playoff run and showcase myself into June than to play for the Kings for the next 6 weeks and then go into free agency. If he could have a part there, you know, it'd give him a chance to showcase himself. And so to me, kind of like what Joe Johnson did with the Nets last year, you know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if Tyreek and his agent went to the Kings and said, look, we'll give you a couple million dollars in savings. You're not trying to win anyway. Let us go out on the market. And to me, you know, he would automatically become, even if you have issues with some of Tyreek's game, given the fact that, I mean, you and I just spent a couple hours looking at this the other day, this buyout market doesn't look that good. And all of a sudden, Tyreek being in Sacramento has a chance to maybe be a guy that could actually make a difference for a team.
So, talking about the Kings' future going forward, what we have to remember, this move would look a lot better if their future draft picks weren't so encumbered. They swap with the Sixers this year if their 2017 pick is higher than the Sixers, but making their 2017 pick worse is something that is an appeal here. There are a lot of these teams, if they can get ahead of Dallas, New Orleans now, obviously, Portland, a lot of these teams.
Now there's about seven teams within three games of them, so they could drop quickly, even though they're right now
pretty
far on the
standings. Orlando, another one of those teams. Like the Knicks, like a lot of those teams are right around there. Maybe even the Suns if they really just get crappy. So that helps them. But then, of course, their 2019 pick is owed unprotected to the Sixers as well.
Sam
and I
Hickey.
Don't see any
strikes
way at
again.
This point that they're any good in 2019.
Right. It's hard to see that. Hard to see that.
You but
know, that's going to be another, you know, Sam Hinkie strikes again and gets another, you know, another asset even after he even after he's been in let go by Philly. I mean, you know, it's just another situation where, I mean, Philly's just flush with more assets just about anybody in the league at this point.
I mean, Philly might be the biggest winner of this trade.
They really might be. They really might be.
But so what I mean, whatever, that's a sunk cost. 2019, you know, I mean, we've seen with the Nets, like, you know, if it's a sunk cost. My goal, I think, would be to trade out some of these guys they have, Tolliver, Aflalo, all these guys we mentioned. Matt Barnes would be another one, although his salary for next year might be bad. Galloway, I think, could help a team even as well.
I'll tell you what, if I was a team, you know, and we've talked about this, like for all the teams that are looking for wing guys and guys that can be stretch fours, like Matt Barnes, he obviously liked Cousins as his own temperamental issues, but Matt Barnes is a guy I'd be intrigued about. I mean, he's not
making
a ton of money.
He's also shooting like 30% from three this year, but you know, I mean, yeah, I think he could help a little bit. It's just that money for next year is kind of ugly.
Right.
Yeah, but what I was thinking was what I would be trying to do, and this is something we tried to do a little bit in the mock trade deadline, is, all right, we're going to trade out our useful players. Darren Collison on his own, probably not enough to get you a first-round pick. But now, Clippers, what if we take back Jamal Crawford? Or, you know, I mean, God forbid, Pelicans, what if we do another trade to take back Omer Asik, and now you give us another first rounder? Or, you know, I mean, it probably wouldn't be the Pelicans, but, you know, those types of trades, because there's so many bad trades now. Portland could be another potential trade partner. So many bad contracts in 2016 that teams are going to be trying to get off of, that now you, if you're the Kings, you're not necessarily going to be in a position to compete these next couple of years. You have all this space. Take on some bad salary, get some draft picks, rebuild that war chest. I think that would probably be my strategy. And now you can throw the additional carrot of, hey, we've got some guys who can help you this year who also have, in some cases, bird rights as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, and I thought you guys, you know, as you mentioned in the mock trade deadline pod, I think you guys did a nice job of trying to do that. And, you know, if you're a team like Sacramento, like, look, you're not getting anybody to come sign there's a free agent right now. I mean, that's very obvious. The team is terrible. It's not in a desirable market. There's really no reason for somebody to go there. So, you know, if you have all this cap space, you're better off parking it by using it to accumulate assets than you are to try to go out this summer and spend money on. I mean, you know, I don't even know who they're going to spend money on. I mean, you're not getting Gordon Hayward or anybody at the top of the market. So if you go spend multi-year contracts on guys, you're getting guys like, you know, like they have in the past where they've overspent for middling guys that haven't really done anything for them. So I think that's 100% what they should do. You know, I don't know if that will allow them to get back any first round picks or not. I don't know if teams are interested in doing that, but you know, if they do start shopping guys around and say, hey, look, we'll take on your Myers Leonard or your Omer Asik or your Solomon Hill or, you know, whoever from around the league, you know, maybe that can net them some more draft picks, and they can start to, you know, build up a bunch of picks, and hopefully for their sake, they can finally start to hit on some of them. And, you know, if they do drop in the draft and get a high pick this year in what's supposed to be a loaded draft and get a Lonzo Ball or Markelle Fultz or Dennis Smith or whoever, you know, would start to finally, you know, restart this thing, you know, maybe a couple of years from now, they have a couple of good young guys, and all of a sudden the Kings look like a much different team than they do today.
Last question here. This was a pretty piddling return. Should other teams, I mean, now it's not an efficient market a lot of times when you're weighing right. these offers, but should other teams right. have beaten New Orleans' offer?
I think so. I mean, you know, the team that I look at in this and I wonder, what are you doing? It is the Boston Celtics. And I look at them and to me, I look at the Celtics, and you have a really good team, and you have the kind of culture that should be able to take any guy like DeMarcus and get the most out of him. And clearly, you know, they have so many picks. It clearly wasn't going to be a situation where you have to give us the Brooklyn pick. Like, that isn't the situation here. I mean, the return is essentially Buddy Hield in a mid-first-round pick.
Yeah. Well, it depends, too, you know, again, how much the Kings valued Buddy Hield, too, which we don't know for sure. But,
right.
you know, maybe they think Buddy Hield is better than Jaylen Brown or something, you know, which he's not, but maybe they
felt that way. And that's not, and I don't really think that's quite the case either. I think they were happy to get a guy at a rookie scale deal that they sure. were, they had some interest in, but I don't think from the people I've talked to that they,
yeah,
they
I'm just speculating there. You have more, you know, more on this one than I do.
Yeah, no, but I think it's a very fair, thing. I mean, I talked to other people tonight who said that Vivek was a huge fan of Buddy because he was a big star in college, and so Vivek heard his name and thought he was really good. So I mean, I don't think it's a lock solid thing that they're not completely sold on Buddy as being a star level player. I just don't think that was the overriding move here. It was more that, look, we got expiring deals, we got a guy who should be at least a good player on a rookie deal, and we got a chance to keep our pick and get another pick. But you know, Boston's got a ton of assets. They got a million young guards, they got a million young pieces they could throw in a trade. I mean, to me, if I'm the Celtics and I have a team right now that's a good team, but not a team that could really make a huge push, then to me, I would be, you know, trying to push my chips in and go get a guy like this that could maybe tip the scales a little bit. I mean, look, let's just be honest, right? It's not 100% that the Cavs are going to get everybody back healthy. What if Kevin Love has a setback? What if J.R. Smith can't really come back? Like, I think those guys are going to be fine and be ready for the playoffs. But, you know, again, if the return for DeMarcus was this low, where I think anybody objectively looks at this trade, and I think you and I both, you know, you've said it and so have I, that there is an implosion factor here that's possible, and this could not work. But I think we also both agree that this was such a middling return that it there's really no question that New Orleans had to do it. And for me, if that's the case, then it's hard for me to justify that a team like Boston or some of these other teams that had assets to go get this guy decided not to do it and just kind of let him go for such a small return and decided, well, we're not that interested in him. I mean, to me, I think if you're a team that has a chance to get a guy with his talent level, even with the baggage that comes with him, I think it's worth a swing if the price is so low that we're sitting here going, wow, even if he leaves as a free agent in 16 months, it's hard to look at this as anything but a win for New Orleans.
Yeah, there was some reporting back and forth. David Aldridge tweeted at one point that there was a 2019 second involved as well. And if that is, or I'm sorry, 2019 first rounder involved as well. If that had been the trade, I could get behind it more from Sacramento's standpoint.
Right, but, right.
You know, how they couldn't even get that first rounder in 2019, I'm very surprised by that, especially because you would think the idea would be that, oh, we're going to have DeMarcus and AD, we're going to be really good. I don't know if that's true for sure or not, but, you know, that would kind of been the thinking.
Right.
So that was a surprise to me if that truly was the best offer out there. I mean, I think the Lakers, too. I mean, there's Brandon Ingram, obviously, is a big jewel for them. Ramona Shelburne reported that they shut down any talk of including Brandon Ingram in a deal for Cousins. Cousins doesn't seem like a Luke Walton kind of guy. I think we can say that. But, yep. I mean, if they could have maybe gotten Ingram and then gotten off of like Luol Deng or Timofey Mozgov as well in that deal, you know, maybe that's something that like I might have considered if I were the Lakers as well. You know, Phoenix, some of the reporting of what might have been there for them as well. You know, I mean, the deal that was talked about with them. I mean, I'm not sure. I think I like TJ Warren better than I like Buddy Hield. And I like a Phoenix pick going forward more than a New Orleans pick. That might have been another thing to consider. So I do think that there were some other deals out there. Who knows how well the Kings really combed the bushes? It sounds like pretty well. And maybe some of these teams were never in it, or just they just think very little of Cousins. And I agree with them to think that little of him, because I think it's probably not going to work out trading for him just the way that he's been. But, you know, in the NBA, sometimes a 25% chance of something working extremely well is worth taking a chance on.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's more, and I'm with you on Cousins. I mean, I think they haven't, what do they want? Like no more than 32 games in any season, yeah. Or no more than 30, whatever it is. Like it's not like, have the Kings been a disaster? Of course. But it's also impossible to look at their situation and not give DeMarcus some blame in the fact they've been a disaster. I mean, he hasn't been the one that's been drafting, you know, this series of crappy shooting guards and all the other things that they've done. But he also is not fostering a culture of that being a good organization. I mean, it's a chicken and egg situation, but he's definitely got a part to play in it. But yeah, I mean, look, there were talks with Orlando. Orlando was hesitant to make a move there. They wouldn't include Aaron Gordon. There was talk about, you know, Vucevic and Fournier and a pick, I think, is a possible deal. And they weren't even sure that they were willing to do that. You know, Boston didn't really want to move any of their guys. Like, they were hesitant to move even guys like Terry Rozier, let alone anybody like Marcus Smart in a trade. And they weren't trading the Brooklyn picks. So, you know, like in the Lakers, as you mentioned, we're not trading Brandon Ingram. So, you know, you kind of go down the list and it's like, well, if we decide we're going to trade this guy, you know, you're running out of options where you're going to get something for him. Now, to me, would it have made more sense for somebody to up their offer a little bit and get Cousins more than for what they got from New Orleans? To me, yes. But, you know, I also can understand, you know, there are a long list of horror stories from people around the league who have dealt with this guy, whether it's, you know, with Team USA or going overseas or just seeing him around. And, you know, people are really scared off by him. And, you know, again, like I said at the beginning of the pod, like, you know, a lot of times when you look and, you know, whether it's a guy like Nerlens Noel, or you look at DeMarcus or different guys, and you look and these guys that you think should have a lot of value don't have value on the market. There is a reason for it. You know, it's not that there's 30 NBA teams that are dumb. And I think this was a case where I think New Orleans, I think, in my opinion, was smart to take a chance on him. But I don't think it's anywhere near a guarantee that it's going to work. And I can understand why, even though I disagree with teams not being willing to take that risk, I can understand why they wouldn't.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to end on this. And we'll finally, I mean, New Orleans isn't the greatest situation, but we will at least get kind of an answer of like, all right, you know, can he be like a normal guy in a more normal situation or not?
100%. I mean, look, this is on to Marcus Cousins now, right? He's playing with Anthony Davis. He's playing with Jrue Holiday. He's in a different situation, different environment, different locker room, different everything, you know, all the stuff that was, well, is it the Kings or is it DeMarcus? I mean, Kevin Arnovitz wrote an amazing feature on that whole dynamic, right? Spent weeks talking to people there and it wasn't clear what the answer was. Well, this is a good situation from a talent standpoint. DeMarcus is friends with Anthony. They should have a chance to be really talented and competitive. You know, I mean, look, from my standpoint, I hope they get the 8 seed because it would be fun to see them play the Warriors in the first round. I mean, that would be an interesting series. I have no idea how it would go. I'm not saying that they would beat the Warriors at all, but, you know, that would be interesting. And, you know, it's got a chance to be an interesting mix. And I think it's on DeMarcus to prove that things are going to be different here. And if it's kind of the same old thing and he gets 6 more technicals in the next 2 months and misses 5 or 6 games and gets suspended a bunch, then you look at it and go, well, you know, maybe things, you know, maybe it was a lot of it was him in Sacramento. But I think you're right. I mean, I think the big takeaway from this is that the Pelicans have basically bet on DeMarcus's talent. And now it's up to DeMarcus to prove that they were smart to do so.
All right, that's a good way to end it. Thanks so much for coming on, Tim. And don't forget about our sponsors today, Blue Apron. Get your first 3 meals free at blueapron.com/capspace. And Helix Sleep, get $50 off a custom-made Helix Sleep mattress, helixsleep.com/capspace. We'll be back later on this week with more great content, including talking about the trade deadline. We'll talk to you all then.